Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we were talking about the scourging that Jesus suffered in Pilate's judgment hall. Let's resume that lesson today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom. For the Bible stands.
In Pilate's judgment hall, he was taken back there, and he was whipped with that Roman whip. Many times, people that were beaten with that Roman whip would die at the whipping post. The entrails would fall out, and they would die right there. But here was Jesus. It wasn't the time he was going to die, but he would be have those 39 stripes with the bits of bone, metal, and ivory tied in, those little leather strands going off that whip. It was as possible for him to have up to 351 different lacerations on his body. Now, we're not told that he had that many, but they could have been that many. But I'm saying that to say this. We are healed by those stripes. Now, I remember being in Israel. I remember going into Pilate's judgment hall. One good thing about it, when you're in Jerusalem, you go to Pilate's judgment hall, you're down there. It's interesting because excavation, everything else, pretty well, with all the other things they found, proved that this indeed was Pilate's judgment hall. Now, they've got the what they call the upper room. They've got other places about it, and they really don't know on them. But this, just through writings and other things that are left there, we know that was Pilate's judgment hall. And even those that aren't saved have proven that, just historians trying to show history and their archaeology and so forth showed that was Pilate's judgment hall. And so I remember in there trying to read Isaiah chapter 53. And when I'd get about my sins and by whose stripes you're healed, I would just cry like a baby. I had a hard time. People were having, I'm hosting a trip, and I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm crying. And I don't know if they understood a word I said because it was so hard for me. And I think it was hard. And I think everybody had tears in their eyes by the time we walked out of there, knowing that's where Jesus got it on our behalf. So he buried our sins in his own body on the tree, that we've been dead to sins, should live into righteousness by whose stripes you're healed. Now, when you look at these verses 21 through 25, we haven't read the 25th verse yet, but just looking at it, what Jesus suffered, reviled not again, committed himself to he that judgeth righteously, he showed us how to react in the trials of life. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, he's both shepherd, the one that leads us, and the bishop, the one who directs us. And so, with those words in mind, now I go back and look at verses 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. This is our text in Titus 3. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is a faithful saying, and these things I will thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, I read those verses because this fits within what we just read from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. And basically, 2 Peter 2, 21 through 25 is telling us Jesus is our example and how to live through all of those things. That being justified by His grace, oh my goodness, we are justified by His grace, not our works. It was all of His grace. And because of that, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that is a sure hope. And the idea of the Greek word is that of the word hope, is that of an expectation with desire. And that expectation, it is assured. In other words, we trust God's promise as a child who is told, okay, you go in there and you put away your toys and I'm going to do this for you. Maybe I'm going to take and get you an ice cream. Oh, maybe I'm going to give you a dollar. And boy, I tell you what, that little boy, he's getting to do this and it becomes a big thing. It's something that's important to him. It's something he wants to do. And yet, in the meantime, he's doing a job being taught, really, a work ethic. You want good things, work for it. But here, in the Scriptures, it has to do with obedience. And boy, the laying up of treasure in heaven, oh, what a great thing it is. So, the Lord sees us as His children. And He wants us to be joint heirs with Christ. But in that joint heirship with Him, where we rule and we reign with Him, many may be saved so as by fire, so that they have a limited part as a joint heir with Christ than others. So now we're beginning to see the reason we want to live holy and acceptable unto God, even though the world will mock it, persecute, and do so many other things and say bad things, even Christians. You just trust God, you take Him at His word, and you just keep on keeping on. And so, our hope, therefore, is a sure hope, and it is definitely of faith. And when you look back again at verse 6, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, what is that telling us? That's showing that Jesus Christ Himself is the guarantor. He's the guarantor. Our Savior. You know, the Bible is very clear, and this book of Hebrews as well says, God who cannot lie, He does not lie. And so He is the guarantor of this sure hope, this assured hope, because He is the guarantor. So again, this is seen in the Greek word that as a man could lose a leg in this life, there's something that we learn from this. Now, we just looked at trusting Christ through everything. But what if you lost a leg in this life? I knew a man, had him preach for me years ago. After his problems, physical problems, he preached, did a great job preaching for us. But he went blind. I mean, his wife was having to do everything for him. She was feeding him at the tables. So you go out to a restaurant, you have to put this big, wide bib on. And your wife is feeding you, that's pretty well takes away from the guy's manhood, but he needed it. He was blinded, and it was later in life that he was blinded. And so as a man, you can lose your leg in this life, or it's the other one I just mentioned, lost his sight, but You will never lose your person, his or her. You don't lose your person. Oh, we can lose physical life, but our spirit, and that is our spirit, our person, in Christ, we go to be with him when we die. As he proved by his resurrection from the dead. You know, one of the things the disciples were scared to death when Jesus suddenly appears there in that upper room, fear comes upon them. They saw him on the cross. People don't get up from that. Now, there have been people raised from the dead. Even the disciples saw Lazarus raised from the dead, but never the kind of beating and the kind of suffering and everything, the spear in the side, all they did to him. Raised from the dead. Thomas wasn't there the first night when Jesus appeared. They told him about it. He said, I'm not going to believe unless I see the marks in his hands and his side to see that is there, because he knew what had happened to him. He saw what had happened to him, perhaps at a distance, but he saw it all. He knew. No, there's no way. But oh, what a thing here. He rose from the dead. Don't forget, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, we see that. And it tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, when you look at verse 8 in our text, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, in the midst of all of that, now he's telling us to make real sure that you are maintaining good works. We all have that responsibility. Now, when you go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, we see in verse 7 through 9 that the demonstration of why we believe, the reason for us to believe, is very clear in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 9. So, you know, I think it'd be a good thing for you. I know you've got your Bibles open to Titus. Let's just go back a book or two.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for